The rain fell hard and cold, drumming against the packed earth of the lane until the world reduced to sound and shuddering breath. Ilse ran beside Jaren, her boots slipping in the churned mud, her skirt clinging to her knees like a second skin. The road ahead was a black ribbon, its stones barely visible beneath the sheeting water. Behind them, the cottage lights guttered out, or perhaps it was only the rain that drowned the glow. Jaren moved with a certainty she lacked. He had walked this road 7 years ago. He knew where the stones lay. He knew where the ground dipped, where roots clawed up through the paving, where the hollow swallowed the path whole. Ilse trusted him the way one trusts a compass in a storm reluctantly, desperately. They reached the first waystone in 12 minutes, or perhaps an hour. Time had lost its shape in the rain. The stone stood taller than the others, a slab of gray granite, broad as a man's chest, its surface carved with grooves that caught the light when the lightning broke through the cloud cover. Ilse had passed it every day for 7 years and never touched it. She had filed it under scenery, the way one files under mountains or weather. Present, immovable, irrelevant. Now it was humming. Not the low thrum she had grown accustomed to in recent weeks. This was different, urgent, almost frantic, like a trapped bird beating against glass. The sound vibrated through the soles of her boots, up through her shins, into the marrow of her bones. Jaren stopped 3 paces from the stone and raised his staff. The iron tip glinted once in the flash of lightning. "Wait," he said. His voice was steady, but Ilse noticed the tremor in his hands. "What?" "The song requires intent, will, not music." He turned to her, rain lashing his face. "My uncle didn't sing hymns, he didn't chant prayers, he spoke names, dates, the names of travelers who passed, the dates they arrived, the dates they left. He fed the road with memory. That is what holds it together." Ilse pressed her palms flat against the stone. It was cold, impossibly cold, as if the cold inside it were pushing outward, trying to escape. The hum grew louder beneath her fingertips. "Names," she said. "All this time my uncle just named people." "He named everything," Jaren said. "The road, the stones, the seasons, the dead. He remembered them all." Ilse closed her eyes and thought of the ledger. She had found it in the chest at the foot of her bed, wrapped in oilcloth, its pages swollen with damp. She had flipped through it in the lamplight, expecting to find accounts of tolls collected, repairs ordered, goods traded. Instead, she had found names, hundreds of them, written in her uncle's tight, precise hand. "Halloween, veiled woman, 3 coins, no name. Samhain, 2 boys, 16 years, no names. Easter, 10th year, old, no traveler came. May Day, singing in the hollow." She had thought it was a record of refusals. A ledger of people turned away. That was what her uncle had been, a gatekeeper, a barker, a man who barred the door to protect his property from unwanted guests. She had inherited his suspicion and his solitude, and she had worn them like armor for 7 years. But Jaren was saying something else entirely. "She came to the door on Halloween," Ilse said slowly. "The veiled woman, you said uncle turned her away."
"I did. But why?"
Jaren's jaw worked. Rain dripped from his chin. Because the road was weakening, he could feel it. The hum had dropped an octave. The stones were going quiet. He knew that if someone walked the road in that condition, if someone carried the weight of their own journey onto a failing binding, the dark would follow them. It would ride their footsteps like a shadow on shadow. So he sent her back to save her. "To save everyone," Jaren's voice cracked. "That is what the road does, Ilse. It holds the dark back, but it needs fuel. Memory is the fuel. Every name spoken, every date remembered, every act of attention that feeds the binding. My uncle understood this. He spent every morning walking the stones, speaking the names, keeping the road alive. He wasn't guarding the road from invaders. He was guarding it from forgetting." The words landed in Ilse's chest like stones themselves. Heavy, final. She had spent 7 years believing her uncle was a miser hoarding the road's secrets, turning away travelers, letting the land go to seed rather than share its bounty. She had believed his silence was stubbornness, his isolation pride. She had called him old and bitter and useless, and in doing so, she had become exactly what he had warned her against, someone who forgot. The hum beneath her hands shifted. The frantic vibrations smoothed into something deeper, something sorrowful, as if the stone itself was mourning. "How many names?" Ilse asked. "How many did he speak?"
Jaren was quiet for a long moment. Then, everyone, every traveler who ever walked the Pilgrim's Road, from the first stone to the last, he carried them all in his head, and when he died, he trailed off. His hand tightened on his staff. When he died, the name stopped.
Yes.
And the road began to forget. Jaren nodded. That is what the dark is, Ilse. It is not a monster. It is not a beast that prowls the hollows waiting to devour. It is absence. It is the space left behind when memory fades. When a name is no longer spoken, when a date is no longer remembered, when a road is no longer walked that emptiness fills with something. Something old, something hungry. Ilse pulled her hands from the stone. They were numb, tingling with cold. She flexed her fingers, watching rain drip from her fingertips. So Alara isn't sick, she said. The words tasted like ash. She is being consumed. Not consumed, Jaren corrected gently. Erased, piece by piece. First the recent things, today's breakfast, yesterday's laughter. Then the older things, her mother's face, the taste of honey, the sound of her own name. The dark eats memory because memory is the only thing that pushes back against it. Ilse thought of Alara's glassy eyes, the wordless sounds. The way she had murmured the sea, a place she had never seen, a promise Ilse had made and broken. Was Alara forgetting her? Was the dark already inside her, eating the parts of herself that made her her? A wave of nausea rolled through Ilse. She gripped the edge of the waystone to steady herself. The cold bit into her palm. How many breaks? She asked. Seven, Jaren said. Seven places where the binding has failed. The second waystone at Harrow's End was the worst Torvin finished what the neglect started. But the others are thinning. Every day without the song, every day without a name spoken, they grow weaker. Ilse looked down the road. In the rain, it was impossible to see beyond the first few stones. The path vanished into a wall of gray, and beyond that, nothing. The northern hollow swallowed everything. And if we speak the names now, she asked. If I stand here and say them all of them, everyone my uncle ever recorded, will it mend the road? Jaren hesitated. It might. The song is strongest at the source, at the first stone, where the road begins. If you pour your will into it, if you speak with genuine intent, you can reinforce the binding. It won't fix all seven breaks, but it will buy time, enough time to reach the others. Buy time for what? For Alara to recover, for us to walk the road and mend each break, one by one, for the binding to hold long enough for the dark to recede. He paused, but there is a cost. Ilse met his eyes. What cost? Jaren's gaze dropped to the stone, to the grooves carved into its surface. The song demands attention, total attention. You cannot speak the names and think of anything else. You cannot half remember. You must hold every name, every date, every detail in your mind with perfect clarity. If your focus slips, if even one name escapes you, the binding weakens at that point, and the dark will find the gap. Ilse swallowed. Her throat was raw from shouting, from running, from the cold air tearing at her lungs. I don't know all the names, she said. You have the ledger. I have the ledger. She repeated the words like a prayer, then quietly, but I haven't read them all, not properly, not with attention. Jaren reached into his tunic and pulled out the oilcloth bundle. He handed it to her. It was heavier than she expected, dense with 7 years of accumulated names, 7 years of attention given and abandoned. Read them now, he said. In the rain, in the dark, hold them in your mind as you speak. Your uncle did it every morning for 40 years. You can do it for one night. Ilse unwrapped the oilcloth. The pages were swollen with damp, the ink running in thin blue rivers down the edges. She squinted at the first entry. The handwriting was cramped, precise, each letter formed with the care of someone who believed that form mattered. All Hallows' Eve. A woman came, hooded, cloaked dark as peat, paid 3 copper coins, asked for passage to the northern pass. I told her the road was closed. She did not argue. She turned and walked south. I watched her go. I did not sleep that night. Ilse traced the words with her finger. The paper was soft as cloth beneath her touch. She could almost hear her uncle's voice, low, steady, reading these words aloud to no one. To the stones, to the road, to the dark. Two boys, Samhain, no older than 16, laughing, bold, carrying a fiddle, said they were heading to a feast in the Eastern Valley. I told them the road was closed. One of them spat at my feet. I did not react. When they were gone, I sat at the first stone for 3 hours. The hum had dropped again. Easter, 10th year, an old man came, sat on the bench outside my door, did not ask for passage, did not ask for food, simply sat. We drank tea. He spoke of his wife dead 20 years. He said he was walking the road because she had wanted to see the northern shore before she died. I told him the road was closed. He nodded. He left without another word. I have not forgotten his face. Ilse's vision blurred, not from the rain, from something else, something that pooled behind her eyes and threatened to spill over. My uncle, she said, her voice cracking. He wasn't turning them away because he was afraid. He was turning them away because he loved them. Jaren did not answer. He stood beside her, his shoulder nearly touching hers, his face turned toward the road, toward the dark. Ilse looked down the path again. The pressure dropped. The air stiffened. Somewhere in the hollow, something moved, not a sound, but an absence of sound. A silence that swallowed the rain, the wind, the hum of the stone. She opened the ledger to the middle, flipped past the entries she had skimmed in lamplight, past the names she had dismissed as accountant's arithmetic. She found the ones she had never read. The ones her uncle had written late at night, when the fire was low and the stones were singing their last notes of the day. May Day, heard singing in the hollow, could not place the tune, went to the third stone, spoke the names until the singing stopped, spoke them until dawn. Midsummer, a child came alone, 7 years old, blonde hair, asked for her mother, I gave her bread, I told her the road was closed. She cried, I did not comfort her. Comfort would have been cruelty. Ilse's breath caught. Blonde hair, 7 years old. Ilera. Had Ilera walked the road once? Had she come here, lost and crying, and her uncle had given her bread and sent her away? Had he done it to save her? Or had he done it because he couldn't bear to let her pass? Ilse folded the ledger shut and pressed it to her chest. The cold from the stone seeped through her clothes, through her skin, into her bones. She placed her hands back on the granite. I am ready, she said. Jaren nodded. He raised his staff and struck the ground once. The sound rang sharp and clean against the rain. Begin, he said. Ilse opened her mouth. The first name on her tongue was not from the ledger. It was her uncle's. Eamon, she said. The stone answered. The hum deepened, steadied, grew. The rain seemed to slow, to hesitate, as if the world itself were listening. Ilse, she continued. Your daughter, your sister, your father, 4 generations of vain farmers, Harrow's End, the Pilgrim's Road, the Northern Hollow, the Stones, the Dark. She spoke faster now, pulling names from the ledger, from memory, from the deep well of 7 years of neglected attention. Names of women and men, boys and girls, old and young. Dates of arrival and departure. Details of clothing and conversation and the weather on the day they came. She poured them into the stone like water into a drought-cracked field. The hum grew louder. The stone warmed beneath her palms, not with heat, but with the gentle radiance of something waking from a long sleep. The air around them shimmered, a distortion that looked like heat haze but felt like presence. Behind her, in the direction of the cottage, the silence receded, just slightly, just enough. Ilse did not stop. She could not stop. Each name was a stitch, each date a thread, and she was sewing the road back together with the only material she had memory. Her voice grew hoarse, her fingers went numb, her knees shook, but she did not stop. The ledger had hundreds of names. She had only one night. The dark lingered at the edge of the rain, patient and hungry, learning the shape of her voice.